had headed for them. The others were handling their own attackers with varying degrees of difficulty. Jack was faring the best. Despite his initial shock, his instincts kicked in with a vengeance. His white hair whipping around his head, he turned and spun among the group of stickies who'd approached him. They were held at bay by the swift kicking of his heavy combat boots and the razor-sharp whirl of the leaf-bladed knife that he held in each hand, wrists supple and twisting to angle the blades at any exposed white and sickly flesh that came within range. Many of the stickies attacking him were nursing wounds and trying to staunch the blood that flowed from their papery skin. But he was well aware that he was doing no more than containing the situation. They couldn't get to him yet, but inevitably he would tire, and with the large number of stickies surrounding him, he couldn't see a way to change defense to attack. Christy was on the other side of Ryan, her hair clinging close to her head and her mouth set in a grim line as she dealt with the forces attacking her. She held her .38 Smith & Wesson in one hand, but was using the barrel as a club, her arm moving in a beautiful economy of effort to whip the barrel against the flesh of any sticky that was within range, the sight on the end of the snubbed barrel cutting through tender flesh, drawing blood and cries of pain from its victims. Those who got past the barrel found that Christy had a superb sense of balance as she used one foot to anchor herself and the other to shoot out a series of gracefully executed rock-hard kicks, the silver tips on the toes of her blue western boots striking home hard. One sticky felt the hard bone of her elbow as she drove it back and into its face when it tried to grab her from behind. The creature's cheekbone shattered under the impact, the compression forcing one eyeball from its socket to dangle wetly on its cheeks as it fell backward. Farther back, Dean was encountering problems. His Browning high power had taken out a couple of the muties with accurate shots that had removed chunks of scalp and cleaned most of the brain pan. But the sheer numbers were telling against him, and a sticky cannoned into him from behind, driving him forward and causing his arm to drop. Another grabbed the fallen arm and bit into it, drawing blood with the needle-sharp teeth. He dropped the blaster, which was lost beneath an onrush of bodies. The boy found himself weighed down by four stickies, one behind and three dragging him down from the front.
Help!
With his free arm, he jabbed and caught one of his attackers beneath its ribs, doubling it with pain and causing it to fall back. Twisting, he grabbed the sticky on his back and flung it over his shoulder, trying to take out at least one of the others that still clung onto the front of him. Although the hurled sticky hit the ground with a bone-jarring shudder, it failed to connect with either of its intended targets, which left the young Carter in grave trouble. The momentum of his twist had unbalanced him, leading him right into the grasp of the ones in front, who yanked him to the ground, where he landed face first. He felt the suckers on their fingers pulling at him through his clothes, and he lashed out with his leg, trying to catch one of them with his heavy boot.
Come on! Come on, you bastards!
But he could only hope for assistance from his companions before his flesh was ripped and eaten by the stickies. Assistance that Mildred would have gladly given if she too were not under dire threat. When the mutants burst from the bushes and down from the trees, the doctor had tried to draw her ZKR target pistol, but found that a sharp-eyed sticky, with considerably more cunning and intelligence than could be expected, had picked up a stone and skimmed it with remarkable accuracy. It caught her between the thumb and index finger, dealing her a blow that was at first acutely painful, but within a fraction of a second numbed her hand, causing the pistol to drop from her fingers. Before she had a chance to recover, the group of stickies was upon her.
Fuck!
Mildred struck out with her hand, pushing with power from the shoulder, her fingers outstretched and rigid. She caught the leader in the throat, causing its eyes to bulge. Her iron-hard fingers penetrated the thin skin and soft flesh, catching in the tangle of veins, arteries, and tendons that crowded its throat. She tried to pull her hand free. It disabled her at a crucial moment, as the increasing dead weight of the mutie dragged her forward and off balance, no matter how hard she dug in. It was all the encouragement the others needed, as they swarmed over her and pulled her even more off balance.
Hun, no you don't!
She stumbled forward, her free arm flailing to strike out at as many as she could, her plaits whipping around her head and blurring her vision as the fetid breath and sharp teeth nipped at exposed flesh. She refused to panic, knowing that as long as she retained some kind of calm and kept striking out, she could get lucky, remove enough of them with one good haymaker to give her the time to scramble back to her feet. Maybe. Doc, on the other hand, was faring a bit better. He was wily, and always teetering on the brink of sanity, he was sometimes better equipped to keep hold of his reflexes in moments of great stress. This was one of those moments. Although the old man carried the Lamont percussion pistol, the shot charge of which would have ripped the life from a fairly large group of stickies with little problem, his racing mind realized he wouldn't have enough time to draw the large blaster and discharge it accurately before the group was upon him. He decided that his only option was to trust the blade. Doc drew the sword stick from the silver lion's head cane. The tempered Toledo steel blade cut through the air in a preparatory series of swipes that demonstrated Doc's fencing skills and seemed to have a temporarily mesmerizing effect on the group of stickies who'd singled him out. It was for less than a second, but it gave Doc an opportunity to take guard and size up the potential targets. Five of them were directly in front of him, with one off to his left and attempting to flank him. It crossed his mind that a sticky with intelligence was a rare thing, a thought that he dismissed with a sudden pivot of the heel and a thrust and parry that inscribed a slashed arc across the white flesh of the sticky's throat. Hot blood gushed out onto the grass, staining it a dull crimson. Doc then turned his attention to the main group. They attacked en masse, and he swept the blade across them, trying to inflict the maximum damage with minimal effort. He couldn't afford to waste effort in such a battle. Although he did inflict flesh wounds that made the beasts yell and squeal in agony, he was unable to deliver a chilling blow. Huddled together as they were, they protected one another, preventing the man from piercing vital organs. He was able to keep them at bay, but for how long? The old man hadn't come this far to be defeated easily by a bunch of stickies. If the Whitecoats couldn't see the end of him, if Court Strasser had failed to do the same, if every human enemy they had encountered couldn't destroy him, then he would be damned if he would let a bunch of stickies finally snuff out the life of Dr. Theophilus Tanner. It was a thought that would keep him going, the question being for how long. And where would help come from? The answer to his silent question came from an unexpected source. Now they emerged from the path that Jack had picked out for his group, and from the bushes and treetops that the stickies had just used. Using the battle's chaos to mask their own progress, they formed a pincer movement that also saw them close off the open end of the enclosure, cutting off any escape anybody might try to make into the open veldt beyond. They attacked the stickies with a series of hollered cries and screams that seemed to also be a series of signals to one another for a battle formation. None of the companions could get a clear glimpse of the group who just joined the fray, as Ryan's group was being forced to their knees by the sticky onslaught. Nonetheless, they all took heart from the rapidly realized fact that the newcomers were targeting the stickies and seemed to be coming to the companions' assistance.
Goodness me. I should have realized that the concept of the fairer sex no longer existed. But this is beyond me.
The newcomers aided him in driving back the stickies. Ryan and Jack, also still on their feet, were taken aback by the identity of their rescuers, as indeed was Christy, but not, like Doc, by their sex. Ryan and Christy knew that women could be as competent as men, but were surprised by the fact that not one of the Amazons who were whirling around them in battle appeared to be above 5.5 feet tall. Neither did any of them appear to be heavily built. In fact, all of them were slight, although their muscles glistened with the perspiration of effort and the slick blood of their enemies. If Ryan Cotter had come across them in an idle moment, he wouldn't have thought them capable of such sustained ferocity. But it was Jack who was the most surprised, for a reason that none of the others could ever have guessed. For approaching him in a whirling dance of coordinated kicks and arm movements that allowed the punga she wielded to cut through exposed sticky flesh, came a woman who was all too familiar to him. She was only about 5 feet, smaller than many of her companions, but carried with her an air of controlled ferocity and authority that set her apart from the others. Her hair was a flaming red, yet lighter than Christie's, and flowed like liquid fire in the slanting rays of the fading sun. It spun around her in perfect time as she moved with a hip-swaying easy grace, screaming high-pitched cries that Jack somehow found familiar. She wore a t-shirt tied beneath her small breasts, exposing a bronzed midriff that ran flat and muscled into a pair of cut-off shorts. Thronged sandals, laced up her taut calves, allowed her to arch her toes into points that hit home with as much power and force as the straightened fingers of her free hand, the blood-splashed punga whirling in the other. The group of women weren't using blasters. They wielded a variety of pangas and machetes that were obviously well-honed. The turn of the tide in favor of Ryan and his people increased their determination, and they fought back with renewed vigor. The stickies dragged from the now prone bodies of J.B., Mildred, and Dean allowed these three to recover some ground and use their superior strength and fighting intelligence to go on the offensive. Doc found himself back to back with a blonde Amazon, matching every slashing movement of his Toledo blade with her own blood-slicked machete. She was up to his shoulder, reaching about 5'6", and her blonde mane hacked into a rough bob, flicked against his cheek as she protected his left side, lashing out at a crazed sticky that flung itself at the pair of them. For its bloodlusting bravery, it was rewarded by having its head cleaved in two by one empty blow.
It is an honor to have you at my back, madam. Yeah.
Doc slashed yet another wound upon a sticky torso.
Don't say that until you've proved yourself, sweetie.
Doc raised an eyebrow, but was too concerned with protecting himself from the last few muties to reply.